Father, bless these thoughts in Jesus' name. Proverbs 15:3. The Word of God says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding evil and the good." The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Right before that, the Word of God says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." And then, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." The wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. This is the thing. And this is why we always have to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Because God is aware, and we are not. Right? God is aware, and we are not. And so I, as a man, have to be very careful to listen to what the Holy Spirit says before I say a word. Because God is aware, and I am not. I can easily speak lies if I'm not hearing from the Spirit of God. And if I speak lies, then I've taken on the role of a fool. And I'm not talking about a lie that is a misrepresentation of fact. I'm talking about a lie that is a character that is contrary to that of God. Anything that is contrary to the character of God is a lie. Because Jesus was the way, the truth. He was the truth. So anything that is a contrary to the character of God is a lie. So in Romans chapter 1 says, no liar has a place in the kingdom. That means that no one who rejects the character of God has a place in the kingdom. Now, I may be weak, and that's not what I'm talking about. I may be immature, and that's not what I'm talking about. I may have a besetting sin that I wrestle with, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a heart before God. If out of my heart before God, I utter that which is not in the character of the Savior, it's a lie. And so I have to be very careful to hear, because I don't want to play the fool. Pastor Stevens one time, I'll never forget, God was very faithful to speak to him. And sometimes he would say things that would really shock you. Like, where did you get that? But then it always turned out to be so. For example, I knew one woman when she first came into the ministry. This was maybe 30 years ago now. It's been a while. She had been a flower child, a hippie, maybe 40 years now, I don't know. She had been a hippie and a flower child. She's kind of piddling in Eastern mysticism, and she was in her late teens. I think she was maybe 17 or 18 when she came into the ministry. And she was fooling around with this nonsense. And God started speaking to her through Pastor Stevens, and she knew that it was God speaking to her as he spoke, and she was startled by it. And she looked up at him, and this was her story. This is what she said. She said there was this angel standing over his shoulder pointing at her, and Pastor, who could not see the angel, was looking in her direction. And the angel was pointing at her and whispering in his ear. And Pastor was repeating what he had heard. You see, God knows. I have to be quick to hear. God knows. Sometimes people who are spirit-filled will lead their life in a way that isn't by sight reasonable or making any sense. But God knows. As a matter of fact, if I am spirit-filled, my life will never make any sense. The Holy Spirit is not religious. That's one of the things that we as believers have to figure out. The Holy Spirit is not religious. And so if something about a believer's life is not fitting into a religious box, I cannot say, oh, it's not fitting in my box, can't be right. This person is making a mistake, or they are off, they're not right with God. You know, Isaiah walked around naked for, what was it, like 3 years or something? And that was right, sovereign, but right. But can you imagine the religious crowd? If Isaiah were to do it today, what would the religious crowd say? That would challenge even like the strongest, most doctrinal Christian who has faith. That would be very challenging. And so we have to be very careful not to evaluate our lives on the basis of religion, but on the basis of what the Lord says. You see, God knows all things. He knows. His eyes are on the evil and on the good. On the evil circumstance and the good one, on the evil person and the good one, on the evil time and the good one. And He knows. God is intimately aware of the details of your life. He has not forgotten and He has not neglected. He is intimately aware of these details. He knows exactly what you're thinking. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows all of your feelings and all of your concerns. He knows. And sometimes we say to ourselves, God, if you know this, then why aren't you doing anything about it? And the reason is because the chisel has to be in place for the statue to be made. If there is no chisel, there is no statue. It's like we were talking a little bit about last week, right? The circumstances come our way and we don't like the circumstances. They're difficult. And we say, God, why did you do this? But what would a person from Mars who had never seen a hammer and a drill and a saw say if he saw those being used? Whacking away, cutting, shredding, putting holes in things, and this is dreadful. But God knows. God knows the details of your life. God knows what He's doing with your life. He knows your thoughts. He knows your considerations. He knows your anxieties, your fears. He knows your makeup. He knows your capacity. He knows how much you can handle and how much you can't. And if you can't handle it, He won't allow it. And you may feel like you can't handle it because God is expanding your capacity, but you can handle it. Sometimes you hear people say, I can't handle it anymore. And I want to ask them, although it would be unkind and I don't ask them, but I want to sometimes ask them, are you still alive? Then maybe you can handle it. Maybe you just don't like it because you're going into realms that you're not accustomed to, into growth that you're being forced into. But you can handle it. Because God won't give you more than you are able. He knows. He knows precisely what you are able. He knows precisely what it takes to make a believer grow. He knows. He knows that the situation that has come about, He knows, although it may be a challenge, it may be difficult, it may even be painful, and it may even be crushing at times, that it's that situation is bringing a crushing, if it is crushing, that needed to be made. Right, if I as a believer am not broken, then I'm not a useful believer. But brokenness requires an element of force, and almost a violent-like action to break something. But if I'm not broken as a believer, where will the Holy Spirit come out? How will I not be full of myself if I am not broken? I'd rather be full of Christ and the Spirit of God than to be full of myself. How do I get over my anxieties and my hang-ups, my worries, my weaknesses? God breaks them so that they don't reign over me anymore. And He breaks them. You see, God knows exactly what He needs to do to get the believer into the place that will have exactly the right effect in their life. He knows. He knows the challenges that he needs to break, and if a challenge is too much, he won't allow it. He knows. And if the challenge is too little, he'll give me the right proportion, because he knows exactly what it takes. I think sometimes as believers we simply need to relax and trust him. Sometimes we go into a circumstance and we have to choose. We all face that from time to time. And we pray and we don't hear. Has anybody ever prayed for God to give them an answer and they didn't hear the answer? I know I've been there more than my share of times. What do I do with that? Very simple. I acknowledge the Lord. You see, when you go into a place, some of the reasons why God allows you to do things or to go somewhere or to for things to happen is so you'll grab a hold of Him. Just like Peter. Why did God call Peter out on the water when He knew Peter was going to start to sink? Because He knew that Peter would then reach out and God could grab a hold of him. He knew Peter wasn't going to sink. But He put Peter in this unusual circumstance where Peter initially started responding by faith and then started sinking. God knew it, and He didn't deny Peter this. He didn't protect him from it. He grabbed him in it. And He held him. You see, we're like that. Sometimes I don't know what is the right thing to do or what is the wrong thing to do. That's where conviction comes in. Pastor Stevens once said, someone asked him one time, "Pastor, how do you do it? I mean, how do you make these amazing decisions? How do you do that? How do you run an international ministry? How do you choose when you have no idea?" And Pastor Stevens simply said to him, "You pray and you do the best you can." And sometimes it's simply that easy, because God knows you can relax. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, the Word of God says. And He directs your path. And so when I get into a circumstance, I say, "God, cause me to make the right decisions. Cause me to take the right path. Give me wisdom for these circumstances or for these people. God, show me what to do." I can't always say, sometimes I do hear, but I can't always say that I hear when I have to choose. Sometimes I hear very clearly and I know exactly what God would have, but sometimes God doesn't speak to me. He doesn't always give me an answer in that way. Sometimes He wants me simply to grab a hold of His Word, grab a hold of His promises, grab a hold of convictions, and make a decision based on what is godly and right, and based on my portion in Him and His portion in me. Based on the fact that I can trust Him, that if I have asked Him, that He will direct my path. Based on the fact that every promise of God is good. Based on the fact that He promised me that if I asked, He would direct. He didn't say, "Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and God will tell you all you need to do." He said, "Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and He'll direct your path." What if I make the wrong decision? Well, I've acknowledged God. I did it with a pure heart. I wasn't lusting after something. I did it with a pure heart before Him. I acknowledged Him. I said, "God, I don't know, but You know, cause me to make the right decision." And I acknowledged Him. And then I make my decision. And if I made the wrong decision, it's His responsibility to get me to the right place. I've had God close doors on me in the very last minute at times. I've had God open doors that I would never dream He would want me to step through at times. And I didn't always know that it was God who was saying, "Hey, go here." I just had conviction and I had certain convictions and I wouldn't yield those convictions. For example, when I was applying to medical school, if I had been willing to leave the ministry, I would have been accepted into medical school. I was invited to go to medical school in some schools, but I would have had to leave the state. And I wasn't going to leave for 4 or 5 years. But you know what? God did not say, "Don't go there." God simply said, live by your conviction. And he didn't even say it as a word, just in my heart. Live by your convictions. Like if medical school was a month, probably would have been different. But 5 years away, 4, 5, 6 years away, that's no way. That's leaving a call. That's leaving a call. Now sometimes people feel like they want to try something for a short season. That's not the same as leaving a call. But in all our ways we acknowledge Him because He knows. He knows. Maybe God will call me into something for a brief while. And maybe I'll be isolated for a short season. That is not religious. Or maybe I may be something may appeal. And I say, God, look, this is a nice religious thing. God is still not religious. I'll tell you, like, have you ever been in a position where you just don't know? This is how you do it. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. And after you have acknowledged Him all your ways, consider what before God is right in an honest heart. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of circumstances. Consider before God. And you know, there are times when God will call me into something that is, like I spent 10 years in secular college pursuing science degrees. That's not a religious thing. People said to me, Mike, why aren't you a pastor? I said, I'm sure I will be, but it's not time yet. But in the meantime, this non-religious issue became the thing for me to do. Why? Because that was the very thing that I needed to get me to where I had to be if I was going to respond in a call. On the other hand, I didn't do it in presumption either. I knew that I was being led to do it. God's not religious, but the thing that I do as a believer, I pray, and if He doesn't give me a clear answer, then I take my convictions and I take what I know of God and I take what I know of His Word. And I can also take the freedom that I have in Him. And I make the best decision I can. And if I before God say, God, I feel like this is the best decision I can make, God covers it. What I would be afraid of is to make a decision for myself without having prayed. And sometimes a decision you don't know with 100% certainty and absolute guarantee. Why? Because you're not God. How do you know what tomorrow is going to bring? Apart from what God reveals, I don't have a clue. But I do know that God knows. And His eyes are on the evil and on the good. And He sees if it is evil and if it is good. And I have acknowledged Him in my ways and He will direct my path and I can be 100% confident because that's the promise of God. So I grab a hold of His promises, I grab a hold of His character, I grab a hold of His Word, and I say, God, I'm trusting You, I'm making the best decision I can, this is what I feel I should do, and I'm going to do it, and God, if I'm wrong, You show me. And He will be very faithful to show you if you are wrong, and He will be very faithful to bless you when you are right in it. You see, I think sometimes we approach decisions out of a spirit of fear. We're so afraid to make a mistake that we don't want to do that which is right. But what if I miss, or what if I get it wrong? Then God will show you. Hey folks, let's get one thing straight. It's about the heart that you approach Him with. And that's what's going to determine how He orders your steps. It's about the heart you approach Him with. And if I approach God with an honest heart, in other words, I don't have a secret motive that I'm not telling God about. If I approach God with an honest heart and say, God, I honestly want Your ways, but I don't know. God knows. God sees the evil and the good. God knows. He knows your heart. Whether you try to hide it from Him or whether you're completely open before Him, He knows it either way. He knows your future. Whether you're so terrified of making this wrong mistake or that wrong mistake, it doesn't matter. He knows your future. He knows how to guide your steps. He knows how to turn your heart. He knows how to steer you. He knows how to take care of you. He knows how to provide for you. He knows how to speak to you. He knows everything that there is necessary to know, and He can do all that there is necessary to do in order to get you exactly where He wants you. So the thing to do when I come into a circumstance where I don't know is I honestly pray, God, I want Your will. I don't want anything else, God. I want Your will. And that's all that I want. And God, show me and cause me to make the right decision. I don't know what to do. Cause me to make the right decision. And you know what? He does. And that's a promise in the Word of God, and the promises of God cannot lie. Grab a hold of all His promises. I don't rest as a believer because I don't grab a hold of promises. The believer who grabs a hold of God's promises is a believer who has great peace in their heart. Grab a hold of His promises. Don't be insecure about God. He's not insecure about you. Hey, did you know that? God's not insecure about you. He doesn't sit there chewing His nails thinking, I wonder what He's going to do next, if He's not going to blow it, if He's not going to... Of course you're not. The Holy Spirit is alive in you. Of course you're going to get it right. You're not pursuing a lust pattern. You're pursuing the will of God. And something happens and you have to make a choice, you're pursuing the will of God anyway. And though you don't know if you should go to the left or to the right or straight forward, it doesn't matter. That's His responsibility, not yours. You take the promises of God, you pray, you be available, and God does the rest. He'll get you there. And you simply make the best decision you can. And you say, God, I'm going to choose this. And if I'm wrong, God, please show me. If there is no lust in my heart, where I'm asking God deceptively, you see, that's the funny thing. When I ask God deceptively, I don't actually deceive Him, I deceive me. And I'm not actually asking Him, I'm telling Him. Can you imagine? God, this is what I'm going to do, right? God, that, okay, when I get Your signature here. But sometimes we can do that. But then again, if I don't do it that way, I simply say, God, I want Your will. This is in front of me. I want Your will. Then you better believe He's going to give it to you. Why would God ever give you anything apart from that which is after His heart when you are after His heart? Of course He's going to cause you to make the right decisions. Of course He's going to steer your path in the right ways. Hey, how did this thing ever happen? You know how many people had to be steered in the right ways for this ever to happen? Well, I had to get over here from Europe. Didn't know about it. What happened? God had to send the Russians. Because otherwise I wasn't going to be here. He used other things also, but, you know, with that one event, it wasn't just about me. I understand that. But He had to send the Russians or I wouldn't be here. What did He do for this to happen? With you, for example, you were so instrumental in causing things to happen. What did He do for this to happen? well, what's-his-face had to be kicked all the way to Norway, or you would have never met me. What did he do to make things happen? You had to come here from Germany just in the nick of time, just right on time. God can send whatever and whoever. He sent the Russian army. Do you see how God uses all things? Do you think that He won't be faithful to you? Of course He'll be faithful to you. Do you think He's going to let you make mistakes when your heart desires His will? Of course He's not going to let you make mistakes. It's all about the heart that I approach Him with. Don't consider religious, not religious, hard, easy, whatever, whatever. Just say, God, show me. I want Your will. And He knows. He knows how to speak to your heart. He knows how to answer you. He knows how to turn you. He knows what He needs to do. He knows how to set your path. He knows it all. He knows. He knew you before the world began. He knew how you would respond and what it took to get you wherever. He's not going to drop you now. You're in God's hands. So look for one thing and one thing only. Look for His perfect will. And you can be sure that the details of it, you'll be caused to enter into them. God will not fail you in this. This is why He said in Habakkuk 2:3, the vision's yet for an appointed time. He's comforting them, saying, don't worry about how it looks or what it is. Just rest and relax. There's an appointment, that you have an appointment. You have an appointment with the will of God. You have an appointment with an answered prayer. You have an appointment with a fulfilled promise. You have an appointment with God's faithfulness. There's an appointment. And He won't be late. And He won't miss it. And He won't stand you up. He knows exactly what it takes. And He's faithful to do it. Amen.